seen and testified that he is the Son of God. Well, folks, the season of winter is finally hit. On this cold January afternoon, it seems that finally we have been able to, we previously been able to escape the cold and snow of winter, but now it has arrived. And since the winter solstice, we have been simply weathering a season between autumn and spring. Similarly, we are in the middle between Christmas and Lent, liturgical seasons. As my Jesuit friend, Father Larry Gillick, expressed it, these past weeks we've been celebrating liturgically various liturgical stages of the relationship God has with us. First, the initial introduction was to Mary through the Annunciation back in early December. The material introduction was made at the Nativity on Christmas Day. The general introduction was made through the Magi on the Feast of the Epiphany. The official introduction was made last week at the baptism of Jesus. Today, this Sunday, we are praying through the personal introduction of Jesus by the prophet John the Baptist. And through the prophet, we are invited to deepen this ancient relationship. When we pray with eagerness to explore and to testify the mystery of being loved. Ah, yes, it's about being loved by God. Do you feel it? And if you do not feel it, as we often do not, do you ever wonder how it is that some feel it and others do not, the love of God? Today's readings speak about people who felt it and testified it. We call them prophets. Prophets, ancient and contemporary, have a way of doing that, of deepening the mystery of God's love for us. Great Jewish thinker Abraham Heschel, in his book, The Prophets, describes the unique aspect of the Jewish prophets as compared to other similar figures. Quote, whereas other nations have soothsayers and diviners, who attempt to discover the will of their gods, the Hebrew prophets are characterized by their experiences, what he calls theotropism, God's turning towards humanity. That's what the Jewish scriptures are about. Often, God is seeing the pain, the plight of their people, and by the covenant, God is reaching in through prophets and saying, I am here. Heschel argues that prophets do not so much speak for God as remind their listeners of God's voice for the voiceless, the poor, and the oppressed. In so many words, as revealed through the prophets, God has human feelings and turns to humanity when we express to God our feelings. Heschel writes, prophecy is the voice that God has lent to the silent agony, a voice to the plundered, poor, to the profane riches of the world. It is a form of living, a crossing point of God in humanity. For God is raging in the prophet's words. Is it not true that at times we most feel God when we are in pain, when we're grieving, seeking healing? There is where God often may be found. And we get this sense from our first reading, comes from the prophet Isaiah, who testified that from his birth, he was called to proclaim words of hope and love to the people of his times. And so we heard the words, now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb like a child. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. What's he mean? God's hope. God's love is meant to be spread around the world of Isaiah. And today, we also recognize it. Similarly, in the gospel passage taken from the first chapter of John's gospel, we learn of John the Baptist's testimony that at first, he did not know or recognize who Jesus was. And then he recognized that the Spirit descended like a dove. And John the Baptist began to testify. He could not but testify for he was so enthralled by the experience of the Spirit happening before him through Jesus. Later on in John's Gospel, there is another person who was enthralled, so healed by Jesus, that she could not but testify. In chapter 4, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, whom the Greek Orthodox gave a name. Her name is Photine. Photine in the Greek Orthodox tradition is a saint who was martyred. But she was the first person, man or woman, in John's Gospel to go forth and testify, "He has heard, he has healed me. I cannot but not testify," proclaiming first the healing of Christ. This past Friday evening, I attended an interfaith service at the Washington Hebrew Congregation over by American University. There were hundreds there, 15 of us from our parish. Through sermons and songs, testimonies from Jews, Christians, and Muslims, we testified to God's presence and love among us. Where our host, Rabbi Bruce Lessig, invoking the spirit of Martin Luther King, whom we honor this weekend, he mentioned that we need to dream bigger dreams for our city, our nation, and our world. Prophets do this, whether ancient or contemporary, help us to big, bigger dreams. One contemporary prophet, Martin Luther King, we recognized that day as he dreamt big dreams. And I had the honor of proclaiming the concluding words of Dr. King's famous I Have a Dream speech from 1963. Quote, "And when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, 'Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.'" These words echoed on Friday night, and they continue to echo down through the generations since 1963 to dream bigger dreams. And we concluded our worship service where dozens, hundreds of us joined hands, symbolizing that in some ways his dream has come true, but in other ways it's still happening, still needing to come true. Prophets like Dr. King dreamt big. They see the larger picture and perspective, but not all prophets preach or speak. Another contemporary prophet brought to the screen in the movie A Hidden Life was Franz Jagansetter, a simple Austrian farmer. About the movie, this powerful movie describes beautifully the life of this husband, father, and farmer in 1940s, who saw the evil of Nazi Germany and refused to have anything to do with an oath to Adolf Hitler required of Austrian soldiers. And so he became a pacifist. And his refusal cost him his life as he was beheaded in 1943. In 2007, this hidden life, this hidden prophet was beatified as a martyr. And the beatification was attended by his loving wife and children. Terrence Malick, the director, gave us that sense as a gift. And the movie concludes, and I recommend, it's a bit of a long movie, but it is a powerful witness for today. Malick concludes the movie with the words of George Eliot, the 19th century English author, with the words, "For the growing good of the world is partly dependent on unhistoric acts, and that things are not so well with you and me as they might have been, is half owing to the number who live faithfully a hidden life and rest in unvisited tombs," unquote. My brothers and sisters, our own testimonies of God's love, hidden or public, is a presence that need not have a pulpit or a political arena. For God's love is broader, deeper, simpler, gentler, and can be found in the simplest gesture or gift, in a mother's love for her baby, and a parent's love for their child, and a husband or wife's grief for their loved one, or a student seeking to attain a goal in graduation. I found these gestures last Monday when I anointed a parishioner, and I will find it again later this afternoon when I anoint another parishioners who are preparing for death. This is the gift of the prophecy, hidden life, but publicly. This is why John the Baptist was enthralled when he saw the Spirit descend on Jesus. In sickness or in health, in poverty or in wealth, each of us, in our own way, by our very baptism, are called to share the identity of Jesus Christ as priest, king, and prophet. Let us have the courage to share that and to encourage one another to testify our witness of God's love in our personal lives and sharing it. This is what we do when we gather with Word and Eucharist, coming together to say, yes, I see the light of God in my life, to testify, because our witness may be through the words like of Isaiah or Paul, or our witness may be through the proclamation like that woman at the Samaritan well, or a testimony may cost us our lives like John the Baptist or Martin Luther King or Franz Jagansetter, or our testify may be like a simple gesture we give to one another, because in doing so, we carry forth the word of God like prophets to one another, that Jesus Christ is with us, among us, and sharing the love of God for all human beings, for all eternity.